general, the separation of the genders is a very ancient notion of the Jewish people. And one of the hints to it we have is in Tillim. Nachonim cite a pasuk in Tillim that we recite each morning in the davening. Malachi Eretz b'chol umim, the various monarchs and the nations, Sarim b'chol shofti Eretz, the princes and the judges, Bachurim, single people, v'gam sulos and single women, Zikenim, in our elders, the people with young people. So the pasuk is Zikenim im na'orim, but it is Bachurim v'gam besulos. Pointedly, not saying im, as it does in the latter half of the pasuk, because they were in separate groups. In other words, everyone has to praise the Rebbeinu Shalom, but each one had their own group to do so. They were not together as Zikenim or with na'orim. So this is an inference in this mizmor and tillim that the Achrayim make. In the 19th century, with the fall of the ghetto, the beginnings of the integration of the Jewish people into the modern world, we began to pick up a lot of baggage, non-Jewish baggage. And non-Jewish philosophic baggage, practical baggage. In a broad sense, we refer to this period of Jewish history as the time of the Haskalah. The interface between traditional Judaism and the Western world. And most of the things, problems that we have today, we could trace back to that era. They directly come from that, one knows Jewish history. There was a tshuva. Could you imagine? We can't even imagine such a tshuva being written today. There was actually a tshuva written by Rabbi Saul Salanter, wherein he takes up the issue of mixed dancing, if it's a violation of the halacha or not. We can't even imagine someone writing a tshuva. Even someone today is just going to engage in mixed dancing. He doesn't care what the halacha says. Or he knows the halacha says he can't do it. But what's the point of such a tshuva escapes us today altogether. It's very interesting. The lomdus, with all types of lomdus, that he explores the issue and why he feels it's a violation of the law of the sikru. But he did not. He pondered the matter deeply. And Rabbi Sobiyah published a written tshuva in the letters of Rabbi Saul Salanter on this subject. That it became tznius in the traditional sense that we think of tznius today became largely forgotten among the Jewish people. The Hasidim were probably the notable exception. And even in their communities, there was difficulty. In the non-Hasidic community, if one looks back pictures of 80 years ago, sleeveless dresses were a norm. Mixed dancing was, no one even heard, knew that, no one violated it. There's no one had any notion that it was usur. That someone told me recently, I remember who it was. His father's a Bentura, who later learned in European yeshivas. He says he was 16 or 17 years old before he ever heard there's something wrong with mixed dancing. He's a year of 90 today. So he was born approximately 1919. He says, till the mid 1930s, approximately, he had no, or the early 1930s, he was 16, 17 years old. It never crossed his radar that there's something wrong with mixed dancing. 50 years ago, here in the city of New York, among those that are the frumest people in the Jewish community today, and I'm not talking that you pretend to be the frumest, that are actually the frumest, people that were Moshe Nefesh or Yiddishkeit, and people today that are extremely erlich in the service of the Rebbeinu Shalom, and no kunz, and have raised their children are the backbone of Lakewood today among their families, And at their simchas 50 years ago, mixed dancing was the norm.
I'm talking
as the frumma standard of the American Orthodox spectrum. And the Young Israels, dinner dances were axiomatic. It was part of the Young Israel movement. There's a Rav, who's today Rabbi Emeritus in the Young Israel of Bedford Bay, Rabbi Shmuel Fink. He's in that position since approximately 1950. When he came to that position, the Rav before him was thrown out because he wouldn't allow them to have mixed dancing at the shul dinner. So they threw him out. When they interviewed him at the dinner, so they asked him, what is his position on mixed dancing? And he's a very tough guy. So he answered, he says, are you going to ask me line by line if I have fidelity to the Shulchan Aruch? So they were a little taken aback by the lion's roar, and they actually hired him as Rav. But this was the state of Jewry. And as I said, most of the problems that we have, we could trace back to the 19th century already. They arrived from European shores. We're starting today, in the last 20 years or so, 25 years, 30 years, to undo some of the damage of the Haskalah and what came before in European Jewry. So, rather interestingly, in the general Western context, and Lahavdil, the Arabs suffer from the same problem with their exposure to secular Israeli society. So, you know, the norm is girlfriends, boyfriends. This is a normal part of Western society. So yeah, it's very interesting. And as I mentioned to someone, this Tshuva of Rav Moshe probably should have been written 200 years before. Because I don't know a purely halachic exploration of the issues involved in socializing between young, you know, between adolescents, people that are, you know, at a premarital age. I don't know anyone that has explored it as clearly and as extensively as Rav Moshe did in this tshuva. And this tshuva is dated Tovshin Lamed Hei. Right? Tovshin Lamed Hei, we're dealing 1975. Right? As I said, this tshuva should have been written probably in 1800, not 1975. And the background of the tshuva is very fascinating. He writes, Zion Menachem, of Tovshin Lamed Hei, b'mo'on ha'kayet, somach in New York. He's in the summer, you know, place near the city of New York. Marla's quote, Yedidei Hatzairim, it's addressed to the young people. Hinei b'dover bochor echot tzor layomim, is basically a teenager, shalo shayach adayin le'inyoni shiduchim. He's not old enough to consider getting married, and hasn't crossed his mind that this is what he's up to in life yet. He sees so libo lovo b'kishar reyus im naira tzira, and his heart has pushed him to form a friendship with a teenage girl. Asher gamkin lo shayechas adayim gam menoch hashabas klal b'var nesua. In other words, this is nothing to do with marriage, this relationship. Ba'omroi, and now they've said this, and you know, I sit back to my years in high school, and it rings. You know, the storyline is so true. The kaver named the zorim of the kosher beisur yichud. They don't violate yichud. They don't go into any secluded places on their own. Aim b'zeh shemisa. So what isur are they doing? In other words, apparently they're not being over negia, shem negia. It's interesting in the terminology. In our teen years, shema was used for shema shavas. I mean, nowadays there's a new term that didn't exist when we were teenagers. They said that someone shamer means he's shamer negia. It wasn't even a term for it in the Jewish community in our teen years. It didn't exist. It's a new part of the lexicon today. They know, listen, they're not arguing that this is not considered the Jewish living at the highest standard. They said, listen, we're not concerned, we're not trying to be the most pious people in the world. Ve'ena roitz l'shmei d'vrei musa b'techoch. I'm not interested in frumkeiten. Ela k'she yishma m'meni she'osro d'obro api aloha p'suka. Unless it's a din. If it's a din, I'm okay. I'll listen, I'll be mekabel. I won't be happy, but at least I'll be mekabel. But, you know, just frumkeiten, I'm not interested in frumkeiten. You know, as I say, it rings so true to the time that the Shaila was written. So Rav Moshe says, therefore I have to respond immediately because it's immediately relevant. It's relevant every day. That's why Rav Yoshev Shlita, I once brought him a letter from a Rav in Los Angeles. So he said to me, if you leave it here as a letter, it's going to sit on my desk for 3-4 months until I open it. So I understood why. Because if he opens it and sees that it's something that really needs addressing, then it'll be mechuyev to stop whatever else is doing in it. If he doesn't know it's in it, he's not mechuyev to do anything about it. So he won't open it. He says, if you ask me the shayla, I'll give you an answer. So Rav Moshe said, here he had the shayla. He knew what the shayla was. The shayla demanded an immediate answer. Vineshitas Rambam Resh Perek Chafalav Meisurabia Sever Dikalav Menator Bekrevel Arayas Tchibu Vineshit. In the Torah we find Lo Sikrehu Legalos Erevo. Now there's a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban what the meaning of that pasuk of Lo Sikrehu Legalos Erevo mean. Does Lo Sikrehu mean that we should not engage in arayas? Or Lo Sikrehu is adding an additional prohibition that the types of physical activities, or we'll see Rav Moshe other activities, but the types of activities which bring one to violate arayas are also included as a separate isur, and that's what we call in Shas, it's called abizrael, means the appended isurim that are around arayas. So we have abizrael d'avodah zara, and we have even in Shas, which is one of the arayas, in fact, in a Rambam sheet, that it's clear that, and Rav Moshe will discuss with it at Gemara, but they know the Behuda noted the problem that on the sikru, there are three averis in the Torah which are yahari v'yavo. The worship of avodah zara, murder, and immoral acts. In the halacha is that abizrael, the surrounding lava around each isur, also have the din of yahari v'yavo. Rabbeinu Yonah even goes so far, Rabbeinu Yonah, to question if this is mitzad din or mitzad musa. When the Gemara says in Saito that mutav, that a person should throw himself into a kipshana ish, well, yalm prey chaver barabim, when we derive this from Tamar, because Tamar was ready to be burned to death, not to embarrass her father-in-law, so was this mitzad adin or mitzad musar, the statement? So Rav Moshe and Atshuva wrote that it's mitzad, and Tosfos, the simple reading in Tosfos and Saito would suggest that it's mitzad adin and not mitzad musar. And Rav Moshe did not agree with that. Rav Moshe said, no, Tosfos didn't mean that. It's only mitzad musar, not mitzad adin. And that's what he held the halacha to be true. Now, in Rabbeinu Yonah, in Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah clearly is in the other position. Rabbeinu Yonah says, to be mevayish a person, barabim is yehor goyavah. It's abizrayu deritzicha. It's true, and abizrayu, the lavin of avodah zarah, even though it's not actual avodah zarah, also yehor goyavah. And therefore we have a halacha, for example, an atzi asherah is a tree which was worshipped. To take hanor from it is not avodah zarah. The avodah zarah is to worship it. And yet the halacha is that ain't misrapin. You're not allowed to use it. Let's say it had a medicinal quality, this asherah, and the person was besakonos nefoshos, he would die if we didn't use it. It's ain't misrapin b'atzi asherah. Because abizrael de arayas is doicha. Is doicha the din of pikuach nefesh, and abizrael. So that's abizrael d'avodah zarah. Abizrael d'arayas is mefurish and shas is the same thing. So although the Behuda asks in Siman Kufnun Zion and Yoredeya, according to the Ramban, it says that leisikruvu was only an isa d'rabban, it's not a d'raisa. That being the case, so how do we arrive at a din of yehorah goyavra? He's rather confounded by that. Although the Behuda this problem, but the Rambam sheet is that it's a d'raisa. The Medrash, it's mashma, it's a derisa also. There's the Medrash, I believe the Medrash in the Parshas Noso, and the Bamidbar Rabbah. The We have in the beginning of Masechet Avos, this week we're starting Perek Aleph again, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, Asus Yog L'Torah. So where do we get the notion of Asus Yog L'Torah from? So Chazal state in the Medrash that we learn it from two Isurim in the Torah. We learn it from the din of, which is in this week's parasha, of Nezirus, because by Nezirus we find, what's the Isur? The Isur is one should not drink wine. And yet, what does it include in the law? That one may not eat neither the peels nor the pits. So the laws of care, you can't even have grape jelly. Forget wine. You can't have grape skins. That's one place we find it. The second, the Medrash says, is Lysikr Vulagalos Erba. So, which clearly seems to support. So we see those are the two paradigms for the Isurim de Rabbanon. The Torah legislated in two places, and they left it to the Rabbanon to implement this in all the rest of the places. So this is the Rambam's view. And the Rambam writes, that Soivadika lav min ha-Torah b'kreivo b'arayis, t'chibu b'neishu k'kudoimam, mikrodaloi sikruvu, l'dvorem ha-meviyim l'deigili erba. Anything which brings a person to violate arayis is included in this. V'nokat loshen klomar, shu inyin bir eza isa nema v'krozed de lo sikruvu l'galos erba. What is the isa? Shu loi sikruvu l'dvorem ha-meviyim l'ze. Is I should not get involved in the things which bring a person to violate arayis. Hainu, shulava nemar lisyog v'geder shabarai, lisyog, that the Torah legislated a law to keep us away from arayas. Why is this? So the question is that why in arayas is this different than every other place where we have isurei derabbana? Shabarayas choshesh haTorah v'las lisyog v'geder, shelo yavo lavo, that the Torah itself, because of the gravity of arayas, the Torah itself legislated the Siyog l'Torah. Shelo yavu l'avor shu isur hanoam me'erva av shalom. All what are these siyogim? Is that a person should not take pleasure from someone that he's not doing that from an erva, even if that is not arayis itself. V'ostro zeb l'av, and it's a l'av chayiv malchus called kol l'av in shabbatar, and it is a chayiv malchus on it as well. That a person who merely is involved in speech, that what did Chazal say? Why? Because you can't begin a social relationship with someone without speaking to them. So obviously the first step in any social relationship is speaking. From speaking, one goes on to other things. So he says, logic would dictate that if the Torah banned Krevo L'Gili Arayis, that this should be included, that the speech, which is for the purpose of a relationship with the person, Shagam Kenem Udvorem HaMeviyim L'Degili Erva, Shanam Yesh Lesa Man HaTorah, Dara Lefi Perish Yisra Akrosh U'Lugedo L'Syog Yesh Lono Lesa Man HaTorah. Since it is a siyog, so why is this different than any other step which leads to Gili Arayah? So Rav Moshe is very interesting, because Rav Moshe says that one can violate Leisikruvu without Negiah. Before we came to Rav Moshe's tshuva, the general assumption was that one cannot violate Leisikruvu without physical contact. And Rav Moshe is saying it's not true. And he's going to support his statement that even speech, which is intended to form a social relationship, which is the first step in any relationship, is also included in this. The chaynu kumufurish ba'avastar av nosim reish berg beis hupa ba'gos maimri shomos aluf. Ezis yog sha'osta toirul idvorel. What is the siog? Right in the beginning of Avos it says asu siog l'toro. So the avastar av nosim says, what's an example of a siog sha'osta toirul idvorel? Harei o'aymer v'alisha v'ninas tu mosa le'sikrov. Yochol Yechabkenovi and Ashkenovi Dabarim Advorim B'Teilim. So it didn't say only Yechabkenovi and Ashkenov, but Vidabarim Advorim B'Teilim means things which are, you know, a person, you go to the store and you ask a person to give you something that you need from the shelf, that's not Dvorim B'Teilim. There's a tach, there's a reason for that, but here we're talking just for social purposes. Kamadom Elo Sikrav, Arei Bechlala Siog Delo Sikrav, Ugam Dibar Dvorim B'Teilim. Mefurish and Lovus the Rav Nosson. And that's what he says. Mechainuka Mefurish, Lovus the Rav Nosson. Nim King on Losh Lo Sikru Legalis Erevo. Hanemar Vachola Arayas, Shugam King Lav Lisiog. Nami Vorim Tailam and Mechala Isa. When it says Lo Sikru, this is a different passage, Lo Sikru of Legalis. Is Afam Neimosh, Advorim Betelem, Shisab Obers, the Rav Nosson. Maybe you want to tell me that this is not referring to this to a context of two people that are unmarried, but rather Sharebi Ishto Kushanido, and who Bidvorim Hamavim, that they heard over, is the types of private chit chat between a husband and wife which can lead to intimacy. Kedahavi Bekokisi Rachman may rive with Sefer Bali and Nefesh. He says, "Poshet churak biyishto shadibur amacherem ein mivin lehergul dover." That's true, he said, with your wife, just the normal everyday conversation is always going to be permissible. You have a relationship with her. And the only thing that you should avoid, in other words, when she's a nida, is what? One should avoid the types of intimate discussions which lead to intimate behavior. Because all of the regular things, this is just normal that a person always speaks into life. Bolid they hear a klal, and this does not bring a person to romantic notions. Because the reason to make these statements is because it's his wife. You know, what are you doing today? This and that, whatever the normal relationship you have. In other words, and to anything which is not, if it's not romantic in nature, either it can only be also in the Rabbanon, or midas chasidus, and maybe it's only midas chasidus. Shomer Yosef ben Yochanan Yushalayim ba'obas Perak Aleph Mishnah Hey Al Tar Basicha Ma'isha Bi'ishto Amru Awisha Cheres Avi Lestam Dibur Kasheroy Tzad Davar Ma'isha Machma Sheyeshlo Anom Imeno Kasheredavarim Emidvor Ma'magidim Lerva. So he says that it could be that mishnah of Altar B'Sicha Me'isha, maybe it's a Darabonon, or it may not even be a Darabonon, it may even be a Midas Chasidus, but that's talking with his own wife. Avo B'isha Acheres Avi L'Stam Diburim, G'sha Rotzo L'Dabar Me'isha, Mach Masha Yishlo Ano Mimeno, it's pleasing to have a relationship with her, G'sha Medabar Imoim and Vorma Magilim Lerim, that's how intimate relationships form. He says, and don't think that I'm overreaching, he says, Bechein Mefurish Baran Avay Dezora Perak Beis. It's a Mefurish Aran. Dibur Hamaskol Bechol Misrapin. And as I mentioned, you can use everything for healing other than a Atzi Asherah, a tree which had been worshipped, B'Sefer Dibur. And he refers to a story in the Gemara in the end of Perak Ben Sayer in Sanhedrin. Now, what was the story in the Gemara in Sanhedrin? This guy became lovesick about a woman. And according to one of the opinions in the Gemara, she was a single woman. She was not married. And basically, he was so hung up and obsessed about her that he was going to die unless he had some type of, able to take some type of sexual pleasure from her. That's the story in the Gemara, and Chazal banned it. They said there's no heter whatsoever. And whatever the consequences of it are, those are the consequences. And that's why it's there, Ein Mein Misrapim Batzi Asherah. The Ran talks about it, similarly as Ein Misrapim Barayas. That one cannot violate Arayas because it's psychologically healthy for him to do so. So the Ran writes in that Gemara, Al Hodar Minu Beperek Ben Surah to Sapri Ma'acheri Agedah. So the final attempt the Gemara considered to resolve this guy's hang-up was that she would stand behind the wall, he wouldn't even see her, she would just talk to him. And the Gemara paskin that that's also so shikosu v'vadish advorim halolo enum gili arayas mamash. There's no gili arayas, where's the gili arayas? She's talking to him from behind the wall. Ela sha'ivra v'hem v'lei sikruvu l'gala servo, she allowed the gili arayas, ayin sham. It's a violation of le sikruvu. And therefore, even though it was merely, it's just talk, it's still the Ransom of the Ransom's Mefurish, it violates the Sikrova. So this bears out Ramosha's point that one can violate the Sikrova without physical contact. Because of Ashach B'Sim HaKufna and Zayin Sif Kotn Yud, to Mishum the Sovek HaRambam, because where did the Ran come from? Because the Ran Paschal is like the Rambam, she did not like the Ramban. The Kalav B'Kreva L'Erva B'Chibit B'Nishu K'adon B'Lahem B'Lav L'Sikrova L'Gala Servo. That there's also a violation of Sikrova is a deraisa de keisa, and that's why he says that it included anything which is anything which brings a person for the close to gilui arayus is also even speaking. B'chein kosav abei shmul b'simin chaf sifkot and aleph and even a ezer. Diko lavim tisaper ima echarei agedim l'shem l'sikru l'galas erva. And the Beis Shmuel also says mafurish that one violates the love. V'lomad zemi makshin bishloim mashum. And so he has, that's only his technical proof, the technical proof that he has in the Gemara. Al-Kabana Mephorah, Mephorah, Shagam Diboram Isha, the Shem Chiva, if it's for the purpose of a romantic interest, who bechal halav, kamona giyah begufa, bechibig benishin, to also belav elisikruum in the rice. Later on in the Tshuva is going to come back to the issue that people would say, listen, I don't mean anything romantic by it. So he's going to address this in a very shrewd way. He was a very practical person, Rabbi Isha. He understood this world. The pella that I have about him, that I did, it's just impossible to understand. What's clearer and clearer as time goes on, yet his world was the world of learning. That was his world. And it was a very rich world. And the things that concern most of us in this world were obviously not very important to him. And yet, he understood the human condition to the nth degree. To the nth degree. Which is really what was truly amazing about him. To be the guy that he was itself amazing. But to be the guy that he was, and at the same time to understand the entire world, and exactly in the human condition where people were, and to relate to them at their level, that was a genius. When I was once in South Africa, so Rav in Johannesburg told me this. Says Rav Moshe is the only Pesach in the world that we're absolutely comfortable with, that he can sit in New York and he understands Johannesburg perfectly, and the Pesach will fit for Johannesburg. You know, he doesn't have to be here in Johannesburg to understand this. From New York, he understands exactly where we're holding, and what we need, you know, and what's necessary here. Umuchrochen loyma, so now. So that is established, that this is already a major, major step, that one can violate le sikravu just by speech. So there the Rambam says that one may not wink or make other, you know, loving signs, or lirmos be'inav lachas min arayas, to make signals with one's hands or a wink, or lischaikima, to be playful, or lahokal rosh, or to flirt, vafilo lahariach besom shalea, to smell the perfume she's wearing, or lahabit biyoifia osir, or to look at her beauty, shazo gam ke midoraisa. Because it comes out, according to what Rav Moshe is saying, this has to be midoraisa too. Because certainly all of these things bring a person to the craving. Umasha Masik, so then what's strange, he says, the Rambam ends with Makilim is Kabbalah and Dovah and Makas Mardis. So why does he end up with Makas Mardis? Makas Mardis within the Ouija research said Lysikr was a lab that's subject to Malkus. So why is it that he's getting Makas Mardis in? The answer is, Humishum de Midraisa and Loika Mishum Shulav Shayin Bamaisa. All of these things are not considered a Maisa. In other words, actual touching, etc., fondling, these are, that's a maisa, that's shayach to give malchus on. But winking, signaling, etc., is ultimately a lav, that the Gemara indicates very subtle actions are not considered a maisa. And therefore, none of these are considered a maisa. And therefore, because the rule of lav shein bo maisa is in loik and a lav, we don't give malchus for such a lav. So therefore, the Rambam said, what's the malchus that you could get? It could only be malchus martis. Ivra, however, Ramayisha was not one, he didn't dodge things which were, didn't fit into his, you know, scheme of things. He confronted them head on. He says, so why does the Magid Mishnah say that the Makas Mardis is because of the fact that when any time one violates an Issa Darabonon, there's Makas Mardis. If in Ramayisha's view, this is an Issa Daraisa, how did the Magid Mishnah write it's Darabonon? So he writes Aval ha-muchrach lo imar shehu midiraisa b'dekos avarana kosva shachva b'eshmo. It must be midiraisa based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And as the Ran wrote, and the Bach and the b'eshmol and the Shach wrote. Shalachin tzorach lo imar, the dvorim she'achoshe v'halocha b'eis. So now he has a very interesting idea. He says the following. Just let me tell you outside where he's going to go. And which is the following. It says, lo sikruvu implies that there's a dual relationship, meaning they're relating to each other. If one person flirts with the other person, but it doesn't have any response from the other person, so that's not an isa deraisa. That's only osa midrabbanan. So that's what he's going to have. Lachein tzorach lama, d'dvorm shechoshe b'halocha b'eis, v'radvorm shehuma osa b'atzmo, shilo osta klum. She didn't do anything. Right? He specifically, you see that by smelling a perfume. What, there's no response from her side to that. Or Mabed B'yayf, looking at her beauty, but encouraged B'yod of Aragna, B'raimus B'ainov, or I say a similar. Kind of mustakala honors me manner to look into, take pleasure from her beauty. Shalosh Shayach Lobo the Gili Arias. You can't make a love of Gili Arias in this Maha Shalosh Nira Mimena Gamkin. She writes a klum. Since there's no response, I mean, this is a dead end. You know, if a guy chases after a girl and the girl, you know, doesn't respond, so that's it. Doesn't go any place. So it's such type of things. In other words, for him to initiate it when there's not necessarily any response from her, that's a derabbanan. If there will be a response, then it'll go up to an isa deraisa. But it's tarach lefar shagam milis chokim olahokol roy shoyim ofen shurak mitzido below mitzido. In other words, she didn't take him up on it. He joked around, he flirted with her, and she didn't flirt back with him.
Glosikravu,
he's saying, implies a dual... Glosikravu means that they draw closer to each other.
Glosikravu is addressed to the man, no?
Well, he's addressed to everybody, according to... Lavu, Lavin, and the Torah are equal. Hishvat, Ka, Torah, Isha, Lish, Lecha, Lavin, Shabbatar. So Glosikravu refers to everybody. It refers to men to women and women to men.
But it has to be a dual...
That's his point. He says, like, sikru, craven, the Gili Arias means there's, you know, action between the two people. Uh-huh. If it's one-sided, the Rabbanan don't want a person to, I guess, to take the first step, because it could lead to the second step, but that's not craven, the Gili Arias yet. Avodivor derachivo, shugami tzido, is gamamagin mishne, yodidohumi deraiso. And he says he's forced to learn this Quran, vashachu beishmu. That's not likely that he argued with Iran. And the Rambam is mashma, in fact, like the Shita Saran. And that it would be also, as the Shach said, that the Ran holds like the Rambam Shita. In Sanhedrin Subinami, the Disapri Machoria gather Isa Duraisa. So he says it's awesome in a Torah. He said that it's not only the Aver itself, and the Inu B'cholab is right. The surrounding love and also everything you heard about Yahweh. And he brought a riot, Boha Mehodom Abishlom, and the one named Asha, she shabba Masha Yomas, or the Saparim or Chorea Gedder. Bafa Bisha and Zavera Gufa. So, according to the man, the Omar, and the one view in the story that this woman that he was hung up about was an Asha Seish. So, fine, so we understand. While the Surah the Rabbanon, Hoya Kerr, the Hen Abizrael, and an Isa the Rabbanon, he can't call Abizrael the Gili Arias, came in the Hoya Zemeza Takono. If it's just the Takonash, and the Melef, the Takonash, and the Surah Macher, so you can't learn from here to other Isurim. If this is just the Darabonan, how would he apply this in general to all, to Avodah Zarah and to Ritzicha? Darayenu maybe Mehosh Eleman Yom Pnuya Hoysa. Alem Mashom Abishlom Eleman Yom Eishas Ish Hoysa. Dim Ken Enzim Mitakona Lemidina. Clearly has to be Mitzara Dim. Umash Velo Dimoy Rak Midarabonan Hoyas Zeh Bishloim. Okay, this is the technical Ryan Nigmar Bashapur. My time I'm low. Okay, this I don't want to get into. This is just a technical proof. He explains how the Namukha Yosef wants to prove it from the Gemara. Hari Yawiso a Chomer Gamma de Raisa. She could be Kishre Reyes Sheish Lunaram Naira. So if there is a relationship which is romantic even if it's non-physical. He won't violate any of those Yisurim. He takes pleasure in his taklusoba. Is itself a violation of it's certainly considered a Yisachom or Leisikru. According to the Ramban, Shita Leisikru was only Osim of the Rabbanon. The Raisa just means the Gilei Arayis itself. Yiga Smach no Mikroi. There's a Smach from Psukim. Veloikin al Zemakas Martis. So it is very, very serious, he says, even according to the Ramban. Now, he wants to address in the remainder of this paragraph the old saw that people always said, well, listen, I'm just being friendly with them, like I'm being friendly with the guy. There's nothing more behind it than that. So Ramosha, as I said, he had a very keen eye on society. He understood the world well. So he says, Vizeb Bor, it's quite clear, Shekisha Reyesim Naira Umitzat Chibas Isha. The reason for this relationship is because she's of the opposite gender. Below Rak Reyes Balma, this is not just to have another friend like your boyfriend down, like the, you know, your friend down, the guy down the block. If you just wanted a friend to chill out with, he'd be a lot happier with guys than with girls. You know, guys do the same things he does, they have the same mishigasin that he does. You know, you want to drink a beer, you don't take a girl to drink a beer. You know, you shoot pool, you don't take, you know, finished. You know, he was a Moshe, as I said, as far as he was removed from this in his life, but he understood the world to the T. V'lo rak reyes elo, v'lo, whom it says, v'lo rak reyes ba'al Moshe, l'zeh yisro hayenich chavero l'zeh. And then he added another thing, which he says, I can prove it to you from the underlying, from the context as well that I'm right. In Sof Kol Sof, he's dealing, in other words, in those parts of society where it was looked down upon, where it wasn't considered just, you know, it's fine. But in the parts of society, in Jewish society, which looked down upon it, so why would a guy get himself involved in such a relationship? For what reason? Right? He doesn't get to have a good name from this. He comes from a part of the world where they don't approve, a yeshiva and a part of society where they don't approve of it. So what does he want this for? What does he want? Because he wants a relationship with a female or a she with a male. And even though she's unmarried, so a married woman is an erava. But how about an unmarried woman? An unmarried woman is not necessarily an erava. Is this already a nida? She erva, the chayv increases. After she reaches puberty, she's a nida. And she is just as much an erva as any married woman is. She never bahu alav. There's just as much alav of lesikru. She's also an erva. Over nida ika oidkrob, nidas tumos lesikrov. There's in fact a second, and that's what he referred to all the way at the beginning when we had in the, I'll go back to in the first paragraph, when we had from the Obaster Abnosen that. And the citation from the Ovest of El Isha Benidas Tumos Alei Sikrov, right? Lo Yo Yochli Chab Kenavi Nashkenav Vidabari Madvorim B'Talim. So there he was referring to a woman that a person is married to. So how far does the Isha need to go? Does it encompass only intimate relations or hugging and kissing or whatever, all other types, aspects of it? So that Pasuk says Le Sikrov. Le Sikrov was a statement of Sikrov Ule Galas Erev. So he says, "V'nida ha'ika oikro v'nidas tumos le'sikrov." So there's a separate love of le'sikrov on isa anida besides the general one of le'sikrov le'galos erva. Rav Shahutzrach krozeh b'shvila iser gam le'bailo. Now it's true that you need le'sikrov by nida for what reason? Because if a woman's married to a man, so there's no Easter in general. So the whole Easter is when she's a nida, there's an Easter of Leisikrov. So therefore there had to be Leisikrov, who the Galus Erva means to stay away from the women we're not married to. But from the ones we're married to, we're normally a mutter, except if she's a nida. So we need that love for Bishvil Easter Gam the Bailam, because Mokamikam Amelo Easter Gam Lacher, but Sof Kol Sof, and a nida, the Torah legislated a separate Easter. So there is this issue too. So in summation, what did Ramosha do? But what Moshe did is he took us outside the box. In classical thought, Leisikru went only on Isurim, which dealt with Negiya, physical contact. So Rav Moshe's, the principal thrust of this tshuva is to disprove that notion. That Leisikruvu, one violates even without physical contact. That's his premise. Now it's interesting, he's similar to Rabbi Saul Salanter, not exactly the same, but he's similar. Rabbi Saul said that the essence of Leisikruvu is the relationship that exists. The psychological relationship, that's the essence of Leisikruvu. Rabbi Saul felt that to violate the law, one also, as a tanai, not as the etzem law itself, the law is the psychological relationship that exists. To violate it, there had to be negiah as well. But that was a condition in the Isur, but not the Isur itself. That's so Rav Moshe is similar to Rav Yisrael in that regard. That is the association, which is, that's what the Rambam has taught us, that it's the association which lies at the root of the Isur. Now, Rav Moshe went a step more further than Rav Yisrael. Rav Yisrael wrote in his tshuva that mixed dancing is asur. I mean, if he wrote such a tshuva today, they would stone him for the way he wrote the tshuva. They'd run him out of town with such a tshuva. It wouldn't, you know, that's it. He'd be gone in one day. Because what did he write? He wrote like this. He wrote that, well, you know, the people are touching my mixed dancing. So, even though that's not in and of itself the aspect that's making the relationship, in other words, it's not necessarily romantic in that sense of a romantic touch, but nevertheless, they're in a situation of the secret where they're forming is certainly a psychological and emotional attachment to each other, and it happens to be negated, so that's enough to violate the love. The psychological association doesn't have to come about through the negia, like in a romantic touch. That was Rabbi Saul. So, right, if he wrote such a tshuva in that format today, they'd run him out of town. But Rav Moshe really went a step beyond that. And Rav Moshe backed himself up from the Ran, the Shach, and the Reshmo, and in the Book of Yosef. So two Rishonim and two Achronim. Besides the way he says that's Mashma, the Rambam, like that. And the Shach, in fact, equates the Rambam with the Ran and the Book of Yosef. So that was Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe's Chiddush is that Leisikruvu is really involved with the relationship. And as Negiya is just one form of how that association takes place. It's an example, it's not the cloud, it's not the paradigm. It's an applied form of the love.
Isn't that problem when people are dating for marriage? They get very close to this stuff.
Well, that's so. That's the point. So there the Torah listen once that the Halacha says that people are supposed to see if they're going to be comfortable with each other and meet each other. So that's why Shmarosha specifically wrote. That's a whole different parasha. I mean, our Chazal were very clear that a person, also the Kaddish Yisrach Yerena, and Yerena is not only in the physical, Yerena is a personality, etc. You're ready to, you know, can you live under one roof with her for the rest of your life. That's not a very easy task, you know, to pick a person to live under one roof with. Most business relationships survive because at 6 o'clock at night they end. You know.
Why would mixed dancing is your wife be us? Let's say, I think so, they did it in places.
Yes. So Reverend, I'll tell you why, Reverend Shlomo Drillman. You know. Zechat Tzadik Livracha. So he was once asked this question at a shir. And I was Shabbos afternoon, but I happened to my father, Allah Shalom, used to go. So till I went away to yeshiva, I would offer to accompany him to the shir. When I first proved to Kanasi. So his answer was brilliant and correct. He said, what are we going to do? He said, and what happens when the woman's in need of it? So what are we going to do? This week you dance with your wife in public. The next week you don't.
Embarrassing.
He said, we can't, it's an impossible standard to legislate. And he was 100%. And the answer was brilliant and to the point. He was a great Talmud Chacham, and he may have been maybe the first person in America that was involved in Shuv. It was starting in the 1950s, the 1960s, there were all types of Chevra, of all different types, traditional Jews, Vilde Chevra that he was Makarav and made from. When he was Nifter, I went to be Menachem Ovel. And we'll end with this, a very interesting story. So, Robert Kennedy once made a speech against the Vietnam War. So, it's circa 1967, 67, 68, those years, one of those. And his speech on the floor of the Senate was, are we the God of the Old Testament that will decide which cities will live and which will die? So Rav Druman took offense from that statement as being, you know, somewhat anti-Semitic. Saying, the people of the Old Testament are the people of vengeance, you know, and even though he took offense from that statement, and he spoke about it. So there was a fellow with a ponytail in the shul. I didn't even know the story of this guy until when I went to Menachem Ovel, came over, was hacking him a chinek that, you know, he was defending Robert Kennedy. So when I went to Menachem Ovel, so his son, Yanko, told me, this guy and there were three other guys, what were they doing in the shul? These guys were arrested on a drug bust like 40 years ago. And so, however it was, the district attorney's people got in touch with the local rabbi. They were not members of the synagogue, and they said that if the rabbi will fine for them, they'll release the rabbis with hugs, and they won't send them to jail. So he was a tough man, Rabbi Druman, a good man, but a tough man. So he said, fine, he'll sign for them, but on one condition, they have to come to synagogue every Saturday morning. These are four non-from guys, but they never hung up with the slammer. So, but less prayer, listen, right? Between that and coming to Shul Shabbos is the better of the two options. And he said, what did he do? And he succeeded in making them from.
Really?
Yeah. That was the Untish the Shur of the year. But this answer I heard from him. It's a brilliant answer. Okay, Rabbis,
Ad Kam. In the old, in Europe, or the old times, the shamans used to check to make sure the husband went to the mikveh the next day.
There was a mice like this. The Velt says a mice about a Rambo. That's what the Rambo. I don't know if it's true or not. The Velt says a mice like this. That when the Rambo came to Krakow, when the husband passed by the mikveh, whatever it is, so he used to say Mazel Tov. So the Ramah came to Krakow and he decided this was a breach of tznius, such a thing, and he put an end to it. So what happened was, so a guy came one day and the guy didn't say Mazel Tov to him. So he came over to the guy and asked, why didn't you say Mazel Tov? He said, for two reasons. Number one, the Rav said we shouldn't do it anymore. Number two, she didn't come. So the Ramah was very upset at himself because he said he realized that his minhag was a side of the Kodesh, you know. So they say after that he undertook to be mevarer on the Ramah, all the minhagim that are correct and the ones that are incorrect, to be omer on the side of the minhagim. That's the mice of the belt says.
But going back to this issue with Rav Druman's answer, so back then apparently the chiefs knowing whether your wife was a Jew or not, the public knowing.
Well, maybe it wasn't publicly known, it was privately. One person knew.
It's not
a problem knowing. No, it's private in but you tell that to your wife. I agree, but you tell that to your wife. You see what I'm saying?
So he wrote that
shuba. I just said, Ramosha, you know why? Because Ramosha was quintessentially Jewish.
Tell you what, you could do it one day and not the other day. Okay.
Ramosha had no Christian notions about sexuality. He was totally Jewish. He wrote one of his shubas. He says that everything that I have learned in my entire life is Torah. I have never learned anything, studied anything secular in my entire life. Consequently, he had no notion. It couldn't, and you see it in his shubas, that there could be any shame associated with intimacy, like was beyond Ramosha. It was totally beyond him. He could not relate to such a notion. He couldn't understand where a person was coming from. That why in the world would you think such a thing? Ramosha made it as part of life, and that's all. It was totally beyond his conception. And you see it, it's the way he acted, and when dealing with people. And that's the way he wrote it as Tshuvas. Like he had no conception of such a thing.
All right, thank you.